duh, duh, duh. Oh, dude, I actually hear it. Duh, 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 duh. Da 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 da.
I'm dying, dude.
You're also live.
I'm live.
And this week I discovered a new tradition where we just listen to our own intro before every podcast. Because if you have to, why shouldn't we?
Man.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Ben, what's up?
We're back.
Yeah,
we officially have a podcast. We're out of episode zero. People listened.
Yeah,
people listen to our podcast, which means we get to continue.
Yeah,
we would have done it anyway, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
But you make it way easier. So yeah. To anyone who took an hour or 5 minutes, thank you for whatever time you had.
Appreciate it.
And it means the world. Yeah. So this week.
Yeah.
We might get canceled. We'll find out.
Probably get canceled.
I hope not. It'd be really unpleasant.
It's kind of cool to get canceled now.
It sounds so unpleasant.
It's kind of cool though.
I'm glad I'm not on Twitter.
Everybody's getting canceled.
It's like the wave.
Yeah, seriously. It's like a wave.
Speaking of wave, this week we are, if you haven't read the title, which you probably have, asking a question. What is the cultural wave of our time?
Mm-hmm.
A discussion that was inspired by Jordan Peterson.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about a couple things.
Yeah.
Including how we met Jordan Peterson in a virtual sense. I've never seen the man, but yeah. I've seen him online a lot.
Yeah.
He's got some political jawns. He's a charged figure. So we're going to work on that and try to sort that out and also just like move past it in some spaces, but also acknowledge our bias, you know, explain. Yeah. In our view, though, bias is existing. We are arguably Jordan Peterson fanboys. I am. But we're going to try to explain why.
Yeah.
And kind of use that to fuel our understanding of what's going on around us right now.
Right. Yeah.
And try to answer that question.
Yeah.
So, Mike,
yep.
How'd you meet Jordan Peterson?
Yeah. So, well, actually, I met him at a very important time in my life because, well, you never know it's important until you look back at it and then realize, oh, that was actually very important. So it was at a time where I was still, like, living with my friend and his wife. And
was what year?
Like 2017, 2018-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. I discovered him relatively early on. So, and it was just weird. I don't know how I stumbled on the videos because I was watching a bunch of like motivational videos.
Same. And
then, yeah. It's crazy. And then I stumbled on like a Jordan Peterson video because I would always see like his thumbnail there, but I'd be like, he's just one of those self-help people.
Actually, that's not true. I just remembered how I stumbled upon him. And it was kind of inspirational. It became inspirational for me, I should say. We'll deal with that.
Yeah.
So you discovered him through the way of inspiration itself rather than kind of what he was more classically known for, which at least in the public view was just being an antagonistic figure of a sort.
Yeah, I was lucky beyond belief. Yeah. Like I was lucky to be able to see him in like a necessary light. You know, not in a light that was just gonna leave me to like admonish him or like be like, oh, he's just one of those quote unquote stupid political people. But, you know, I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it in a way like, oh, like it was like lectures. I was like looking at lectures online as a result of like my natural curiosity. And I was just stumbling on from lecture to lecture. And it was all just classroom lectures. Yep. Him talking about like ancient Egypt and like, all those kind of stuff that like nobody's talking about. I'm like, what the hell? And I watched it for so long, and I remember I think I had to work the next day, but I watched it till like 3 a.m. I was just watching,
just like back to back.
Yeah, I was just
like
watching
his Pinocchio, like his classroom recorded
like
lectures.
It couldn't end. Like everything was just grabbing
my
interest.
He has so much content.
Yeah,
he had so much content.
Yeah,
has an extraordinary amount.
Yeah, everything was just grabbing my interest, dude. Like. Because everything was, like, mythological. And, like, mythology grabs the interest. Like, the story grabs
like
your interest.
Like, nothing else.
Without a doubt. And I just kept on watching it. I just realized how much.
By the way, you're getting ink all over your fingers right now.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm rocking. I'm raw dogging it.
What the fuck is that?
But yeah.
For those of you who can't see, which is literally everyone, Mike is an uncapped pen in his hand, and it's just the kind of pen that just gets ink everywhere, and that's happening. So.
Oh man. I'm also trying to be more civilized. Because people have been messing with my energy lately, but I'm trying to control it. But it'd be foolish to worry about me because I handle myself pretty well. But do worry about me. I like when people worry about me.
It's nice. There's a certain positive energy that allows you to build yourself up emotionally in a good way.
Yeah.
When people like really care about you. And I care about you, bro.
Yeah, for real.
I honestly love you, bro.
I appreciate. I love you too, bro. Seriously. I just stole somebody's boyfriend.
You just what?
I just stole somebody's boyfriend.
Oof. So you met Jordan Peterson at an important time.
An integral part of my life.
And you met him through his classroom lectures. Unaware of the general.
What was going on. It was just grabbing my interest. But it was like how I kind of discovered Joseph Campbell. But like Jordan Peterson,
who
was
I've never heard of, and he's very renowned in the field as a what does he do?
He's like a mythological psychologist.
Okay.
Also, yeah, but he was early on, like 1990s ish, kind of early 2000s, I think. But like, yeah, important individual, and then Jordan Peterson then came on scene. You know, obviously having studied people like Joseph Campbell, Carl Jung, and all sorts of psychologists. But
and he gained renown for doing it that way.
Yeah.
Like he was very active online.
Yeah.
Very active.
Yeah. It was like this. Yeah.
So speaking of he was very active online, which led me to I encountered him very differently. Just to go over that, which is I was like in a pretty dark place too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like through a series of circumstances, you know, I was not a happy person and living in a bad place and making bad decisions and not being as kind as I could be.
Right.
And I found him, I think, if I'm not mistaken, around like 2016. And it was, I think, based on when it, yeah, it was probably around when I was like, I probably found it through the vein of like, so you know those YouTube compilations, like the anti-radical feminist ones that you think you can feel good about watching because like it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that vein, you know, kind of exiting a pretty problematic phase that I just luckily shaken myself out of.
Right.
And then his content became about inspiration. Trying to do better, you know.
Yeah.
Like it was also around that time where he had the issues with the certain bill in I think it was like a city in Canada, like Toronto or something.
Yeah. Something
like that. I don't remember those details, but also it's so long ago that I would argue based on his general being, and I hope to explain why, like that isn't an accurate representation. Like I think it's been made out to be like deeply problematic when it is not. Especially in light of the thing you discovered him as and the thing I came to see him as, which is why we're giant fanboys.
Yeah.
Is he's not, he's wrong about some things, but like on many, many deep and important things, he's not wrong.
Right. Like it's hard for me to, like, obviously, you know, when you're living your life, you know what to take from people and you know what to live out. Hopefully you do know, but it's like, it's hard for me to be like, oh, Jeremy Peterson is wrong on that. I can hardly even say that because I know from the kind of knowing the kind of person he is through the platforms that I've known him through.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that he has like very detailed, complex psychological basis and reasons for every single thing that he says. So before I can even say he's wrong on something, I don't even think about right or wrong. I think more about beyond what is right and wrong, in the sense of like, it's leading towards a structure. Almost everything he says is leading towards a structure.
Well, that's what exactly that is the inspiration. What we hope to draw inspiration for during the course of this is what he wrote his book about. You know, I'm looking at a very well loved copy of 12 Rules for Life. Like, this is my first time seeing the book. I mentioned when you brought it in, it's huge. It's a big book.
Yeah, dude. It was like,
how many pages is it?
It's like, look at me writing in the back. I didn't even know. I wonder what I wrote. But it's like,
probably some deep shit.
Yeah, most likely 410 pages.
410 pages, not.
Yeah.
Pretty small writing.
Yeah, it's a lot like detailed stuff, dude. Like, look at me underlining every sentence. I underline
entire thing.
The whole book. I couldn't deal with it. It was too much, too deep.
But like you said, everything is building towards
a structure.
Structure, and the book is subtitled "An Antidote to Chaos," yeah. aka order, which, you know, I think is one of the main points is, you know, that it's a sense of balance.
Yeah.
You know, because chaos is nigh infinite, you always have to be striving towards order.
Right.
And that's the thing, is it's striving towards.
Yeah.
Like, yep. there is no getting there.
Yeah.
Because once you get there, then it ceases to exist.
Right. Right.
Like on a metaphysical level.
Yeah.
If order and chaos are the same as each other, or, you know, equal each other,
right.
in some metaphysical sense.
Yeah.
Then the two cannot be different.
Yeah, they cannot exist without the other.
So, and that's, you know, the equal and opposite reaction. You know, every action is an equal and opposite reaction, which I honestly think is, like I said when we were walking back, fundamentally true.
Yeah, so profound.
It's
such a profound line. Like, the reason why I'm saying so profound is because I'm also considering and taking into the fact, the kind of circumstances and conditions the individual, talking about Sir Isaac Newton, the individual had to live in the times that he was living in, and with the resources that he probably had to be able to come up with such an idea or realize such a fact. It's why I say it's so profound. You would have to be extremely, extremely profound to be able to hit a core like that. At a time like that, for it to spread so far across the whole globe,
all of time, from that point forward.
Like, I'm gonna tell my
great like you can't even fathom.
You know, like everything.
So fundamentally true.
So fundamental.
It's literally, he was on a different level.
Yeah, it's literally the yin and yang symbol.
Yes,
in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that like cross, like fundamental truths crisscrossing and pointing at some similar symbol or methodology, I think is hugely important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So, yeah. So what you were saying is like, and it's like, when you think about, someone like, Jordan Peterson, in that respect of like trying to hit concrete things, it's like concrete things are not like, I don't think they're like, oh, whatever. I don't think they're like things that we could do away with, in a sense. I think they're things that are actually very necessary and are worth the time trying to figure out what they are, like mythology and those kind of things. Like,
yeah, I agree with that.
Like,
that's, yeah, because if they are something that fundamentally true, that is something that has spanned across time, like that has to have some fundamental truth to it.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like the structure thing is a very important kind of thing. to talk about, because from my experience, I do think that people need something to hold on to.
Mm. You think structure itself is important to talk about?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you know, as you were talking about order and chaos, you know, they cannot necessarily be separated, because they, like, yeah, for order to be ordered, there needed to be a chaos for the order to come out from.
Well, if, like, you know, if any, as like we had mentioned earlier, and the key concept that I think would help promote so much empathy,
yeah,
in the world, is that every person, as negative as their current circumstances, you know,
yeah,
whatever they're going through, whatever kind of person they are, like, there's the possibility for that to be equal in the opposite direction.
Right.
So, like, as bad off as someone is, like, that person has the capability to be just as good, you know, under the right circumstances. And I think people kind of understand that as a truism of, like, yeah, if someone had all the right help, like, ha ha ha, like, yeah, no duh. But, like, no, but you have to, you can't just laugh that off.
Right.
As, like, something that's just, like, yeah, that's true. Like, you have to treat other people all the time, no matter how much you disagree with them, as if that's true, and understand, like, also, like, another thing is, like, perspective is huge. Is like what were you saying about one person's problems?
Well, for which one?
You were talking about how each person has, something can affect all of man, but right, one man can,
right, right. So yeah, so like, thing that Young was pointing, mm-hmm, out was that an individual struggle, no, something that is being struggled with on a public level can appear to the individual as a personal thing that is only the individual is struggling with. So a lot of times, the thing that you're struggling with, that you think you're the only one who's struggling with it, can actually be it's often something that the mass is actually struggling with, but, you know, nobody's really showing it.
Yeah, because you never, like, unload all that stuff,
yeah,
you know, and you don't unload it to others. So nobody, right, realize, like, something I think that would fundamentally help, mm-hmm, is that people on a grand scale seem to not fully grasp, and I just say this in the way that we see people yelling at each other,
right,
in the world right now.
Mm.
People seem to not understand that whatever you're feeling,
yeah,
for whatever, and you strip reason from it, whatever you're feeling,
yeah,
about literally whatever,
mm-hmm,
any other person could also feel that.
Right.
For any other unfathomable.
Yeah.
Yep. For any unbelievable number of reasons.
Right.
Infinite. Right. Infinite number of reasons.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely true. And it's like, yeah, it's like,
and
yeah,
but you don't treat people. I feel like if you treated people that way, you would, and just the thing is, you have to, it seems like the reason matters too much. Like, people disregard other people's reasons, I guess.
Right. Like,
but they don't realize that they are as true to that person as whatever you are thinking is to you.
Right.
It's not that, like, I don't know. Yeah. I act in that way. And it seems like people in the world, if they did act that way, I feel like the world would not be on fire right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be not good. It'd probably be not great, but it would be a little better if you just. Yeah. So what are we going through right now? We should probably get around to the title at some point.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson.
And what is going on? Because we're in a thing. We're in, yeah, a movement.
Yeah.
Like, we're 5 years into a movement, arguably. You know, probably, I don't know if we could mark a start, but probably, like, do you remember, like, oh God, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I think this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
For the record, I think this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But you remember when there was that whole issue over, like, trans people going into bathrooms in like a Target or whatever. Right, like was, yeah. I feel like that was like 2015, 2014, if I ish, had to guess.
Something like that.
Ish.
Yeah.
So like start ish, 2014, 2015 to now. Five, 6 years. What are we seeing? People are not talking, which it seems like people are. And what I hope to do is just acknowledge what's going on and not debate the merits of either side. Because I don't think that, first of all, like the direct path to getting canceled. Because we're not, so besides that.
Yeah. Beyond good and evil.
Beyond good and evil. Because both sides think they're good.
Yeah.
As equal, as deeply held.
And they think the other is evil.
And they think the other is evil. They think the other is evil.
Yeah. And it's easy to fall into that well of like always pointing onto the other when the foundations have fallen off. Because was it 100 years ago or more, Nietzsche said God is dead. And I think what Peterson was trying to explain was that the foundations, what Peterson was trying to explain that Nietzsche said was that the foundations have fallen off and we're not going to be able to recover. And Jung used to point out that one of the things of civilization is that it's just ever moving forward, and that's the thing of reality too. It's just ever moving forward, and there's no going backward. And when things are ever moving forward, I think that you have to proceed with caution because there's no going back to fix things. It's just moving forward. So, and human beings, I think, are hopelessly unconscious, is what Jung used to say, and it's like, you do have to take a great degree of unconsciousness to just keep on moving forward carelessly without the realization that you cannot go backward. And so what's happening now is the foundations of humanity have kind of fallen off, and nobody knows what to do with all this loose energy and psychic energy that everybody else possesses. And
the aimlessness you were talking
about. Yeah, the aimlessness, right.
And which is something like, Jordan Peterson, it was a truism of his. He was like, if you don't have an aim, then you're aimless.
Right.
And that, because
And it's like it would look so obvious, but it's like, it's actually a very deep
profound
reality. Like, if you don't have an aim, you're aimless. And you're going to be like, and you're going to think you understand it because you understand the statement. But.
And people think they have an aim, though, is the thing.
Right.
So people have identified with their respective side. It appears, but like, is it. The concern that I have is like, what percent?
Right.
Because if you just go by the general alignments, you know, as high up and as low as they go, like if you're just counting even just like agreement with a particular side, then that counts as being on that side.
Right. You know,
there's a very distinct line drawn in the sand where there's no nuance. There appears to be a severe lack of nuance and a desire not to understand how complicated things are and how complex and how many reasons there are for things to be a certain way. And
right. Like, sorry.
It seems like it's broken to dichotomies.
Yeah. Like, I think because you agree with something does not, I don't think it makes it true. I don't think it makes it more true. You know, like.
Well, isn't that, I guess that's one of the flaws, right?
Yeah. Like, I think something is true in regards to how it, I think it affects your personal life and the lives of others in a sense. But I don't think something is more true because more people agree with it. You know, it's like the thing about like splitting into the perceived aims that people are grasping onto in modern society is that we're kind of thinking or hoping. I don't think anybody's really hoping for much. We're just doing stuff. But I think we're thinking that splitting into this idea is an ideology is going to save us somehow, but it's not going to save us because you're not really addressing the real problem. The real problem is the psychology of the individual and the man, the human being.
Yeah.
You know, Freud used to say, man is, and before you discredit Freud, just
Yeah. Let's deal with this for a sec. So yeah, Freud did a ton of cocaine, probably.
Right.
At least he did cocaine, probably a ton of it. Right. But also, nobody takes Stephen King and is like, he was smoking cigarettes, drinking, and I think he was on at least one or two other drugs. Nobody takes that away from him. So.
Right.
So not to be too aggy on that, right. But. You know, just so for anyone who did have that concern, which I was actually, and just kind of dealt with that bias.
Yeah.
But nobody takes drinking and takes away from Stephen King. So.
Right.
So Freud was probably a genius.
Yeah.
Probably pretty much a genius.
Yeah. So before you,
Freud used to say.
Mm-hmm. Before you discredit Freud, it's like you just said, like the individual, like we have to take into account the fact that he was walking into waters that. You know, he was walking into waters in a way that was not before done, you know. And so it's like before there can be a great discovery, there has to be a bold guess, and he was making a lot of bold guesses.
Mm.
And we have to put that into account. And it doesn't mean that even if we find like a couple of things wrong with what he said, it doesn't mean that there are some things that very, very structural about the things that he discovered.
Foundational.
So Freud used to say, man is not God in his own house. And from my understanding, and this may not be the final explanation of it, but from my understanding, he means that the individual is not necessarily in control of what the psyche is doing and the psychical processes. Like, we fall into these groups and these ideas and these ideologies and think that those are who we are.
No, but a lot of the times, your ideas.
Right, you're not your ideas. Often the idea is using you.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, because the ideas often outlive people.
Almost. I mean.
They do.
Yeah.
So
they can and they can't.
Right.
It depends on the idea.
Right.
But the big ones, big ideas can outlive people by millennia.
Yeah.
Like Socrates is still around.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. You know, like ideas, like there's something in you that's thinking without you necessarily doing the thinking consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know Peterson used to talk about dreams too, and dream analysis. Like, Jung was bringing that too. You know, like when you go to sleep at night, like you're not the one who's consciously doing the dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something else in you that's doing the dreaming.
It's unconscious. It's not conscious.
Right.
It's whatever is the opposite.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we really quite. Well, we don't. We think we know, right? We think we like animals aren't conscious, but like, I mean, you sure?
right. Like you just never really. Mm-hmm. Like you never really.
But we know that we are.
Yeah.
And I guess we're just looking for that opposite.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And that's one thing I wanted to get into with like the Peterson issue is like, it's easy to sound crazy when you're separated from the follies of the day. Because when you separate yourself, what you're doing is that you're saying, okay, you're going to make a bold step in the direction of going your own path. And when you go your own path, you're going to get in the way of all of those who are aimless in their own path. But sometimes that is why sometimes I think Jordan Peterson might sound like he's.
I think, yeah. Well, so that's what people need. That's what appears to be lacking. Whatever cultural wave, like there's a lack of meaning.
Yeah,
there is
a lack of meaning.
And that's kind of what I found in Jordan Peterson. I found meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I found, like, you know, the clean up your room, John.
Right.
I don't know if you ever listened to Akira the Don. He does something called Meaning Wave.
Akira the Don.
I don't think I can play him, but I'm going to send him to you.
Yeah.
And he does some Jordan Peterson stuff, but but like clean up your room, it's catchy and it's sure it's. So yeah, he is like simple ideas,
right?
a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're right.
Mm.
Is your room cleaned? How are you gonna, like, maybe have you tried right. it?
Yeah.
Have right. you done it? I'm just right. gonna stop now. We're yep. gonna pick back up in like 2 seconds.
Yep.
And we're back. So we were talking about Jordan Peterson
right.
being right.
Yeah.
Just being objectively right. So you wanna read off a couple of those rules for life?
Yeah. So actually I have an idea. I was gonna do this, right? I was gonna open a random page and see where it takes me. Like an adventure, you know?
Okay. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Okay, so I opened this random page, right? And I see a line that says, a subtitle that says, figure it out for yourself. So it starts like this. I'm gonna just read the first paragraph and see what we can get out of it. I decided instead to listen. I have learned not to steal my clients' problems from them. Ooh. I don't want to be the redeeming hero or the deal ex machina, not in someone else's story.
Deus ex machina.
Ooh, look at Ben over here. Not in someone else's story. I don't want their lives. So I asked her to tell me what she thought, and I listened. She talked a lot. When we were finished, she still didn't know if she had been raped, and neither did I. Life is very complicated. So that's very vague and complex. But now we're going to make the bold act of trying to figure out what the hell I was talking about. So
what was that what was that chapter in? What chapter was that in?
Let me see what chapter that is in. So the subtitle says, figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The chapter, assume that the person you're listening to might know something you don't.
Mm.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
Assume that the person you're listening to might know something you don't.
That's
so. Huh.
So he's talking about not making his patients' problems.
I need to, yeah. So I need to dip
yeah. deeper. Yeah. This is not, you cannot read this. This is a tome.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to change the way you understand everything to properly understand a single something. Wow. Dude, that is deep.
Sometimes you have to change the way you understand a single something.
No. Okay, so look, right. Yeah. Sometimes you have to change the way you understand everything to understand a single something.
Mm.
Let me read that again.
Yeah.
And add one more sentence. Sometimes you have to change the way you understand everything to properly understand a single something. In quotes, was I raped? Can be a very complicated question. The mere fact that the question would present itself in that form indicates the existence of infinite layers of complexity, to say nothing of five times. So this is a context of him talking to a patient of his who probably, I think, either in actual reality or in some kind of fantasy, was raped, but she couldn't figure it out. But that line that he says, sometimes you have to figure out, let me read it again.
You
have to
change the way you see
everything to understand a single something. To
understand a single something.
Right. So it might point to the fact that things can probably be explained. We just don't understand them in the form of ourselves that we are in.
Where we are right now can't comprehend what we're encountering
sometimes. Yeah.
Do you think that's what the internet is?
Yeah,
we just can't understand what this thing that in the course of a single day more content is generated than any one person could consume in their life in one day,
and like out of nowhere,
and
you know?
Is instantly accessible
to the billions. Yep. And it's like,
we should be asking that question.
That's a valid question. Yeah. And it's like sometimes in my life, like personally, I would go through things, right? And it kind of throw me off. But then sometimes in those moments, I realize that I'm holding on to things that are kind of making me fall off even more. So it's like when I decide to kind of reorient myself and kind of actually fall back into my own soul, for the sake of a word, of a better word, I guess, fall back into my own soul, I realized that I'd have to change the entire way that I was approaching a certain aspect or even the entirety of my life just to figure out that tiny little part. Yeah. Because once that tiny little part gets big enough, the whole thing is going to fall, you know? So it's like, and even if it doesn't have to do with falling or like capsizing, it's just the mere effect of that. The little things hold the answers to the big things as much as the big things hold the answers to the little things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, when it comes to self-improvement, like, the margins can often be very, very narrow. Like, they're they're very, very minor improvements, but because they're still technically self-improvement, like, you're still technically self-improving, and the minor improvement doesn't matter.
Right, right. My bad. I dropped the book. Right. I want to write that line down.
Which one?
The big things
hold
the answers to the little things as much as the little things hold the answers to the big things. The big things.
It's just a, it's also a fact of just interconnectedness.
Right.
Just general, everything you do is connected to everything else you do.
Right.
At all times. And you're one person.
Yeah. Like, nature is as much of a danger as much as it is a safety.
Yeah,
so it's like
some hefty dead air there. I just realized that. Just deep in thought. So I've been thinking for the last 30 seconds ish. Do we want to talk about how we're afraid of the precarious position civilization as now experienced finds itself in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost scary. It's very really scary. Because even like me, like doing this art form or sometimes assuming the position of a foreseer in a sense, or quote unquote a therapist in a sense, which I am far off. Like, I don't know, I don't know who's a therapist, right? But like, sometimes it's even scarier for me because sometimes when I tend to see myself assuming the position of a therapist for people around me, but even I myself realize how much we as a totality tend to fall into this apparent pit that is in front of us of like,
well, every man is a man,
right?
Every man is like, you realize your own bias, your own the fact that bias exists. I think that's a problem going on right now, is people don't understand that. People don't examine their own ideas critically.
And it's like,
I'm not perfect. No, no person is perfect. And we're all out to screw up and make mistakes and not have that define our entire life.
Right. And cause it's like, cause how I've been feeling lately, right? I've been feeling a little nihilistic in a sense.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, you know, cause it's like, and I think that's why it was important for us to talk about Jordan Peterson today, because I think he was making it clear that the nihilism is kind of overtaking everybody, and there's really no answer that anybody can give. And that's what I think Peterson said when he was trying to explain what Nietzsche said God is dead. He wasn't talking about necessarily the Christian kind of idea. He was talking about the thing that holds human beings to move forward.
Yeah. The ideal itself, the idea of holding something as an ideal.
Right, right. You know,
God is like,
Because I'm trying, whenever I feel nihilistic, I try to figure out where the nihilism is coming from. And a lot of it has been coming from like apparent constant routine in civilization with no foreseeable goal of the future or where the hell we're going.
There's none of that. Not right now.
Right.
It's like, just like...
Like, where are we going?
Nobody knows. We're aimless.
Right.
You know, as a species.
You know? Yeah.
As a species, we're aimless.
Yeah. And it's scary.
Can you imagine if we had a name as a species?
Right. Like, Roland Lazenby used to say... if everybody was like Michael Jordan, we're building stairs on the moon right now. It's so funny.
You're building stairs on the moon.
Yeah. It's so funny. But it's like, even with that kind of quote, it's like there's no reason to be a Michael Jordan. It's like, why? It's like it's hard to see that people actually have a reason to even do anything.
Because it feels good.
Right.
That's why. Like, because if it hurts for a while, eventually it feels good. And then also it makes life itself better.
Right.
But it's difficult to, it's hard.
Yeah, it's definitely hard, but it's like this, the psychic part and the spiritual part comes first, I think. And it's like, I think that's what's missing. It's like, we kind of know that it's good to do good things, but I feel like we have that idea from like a fledgling part of like,
we haven't grown that out,
right? It's like it's kind of like fledgling from like the past realizations of why it is good to do good. Like the people from the past realized that, like
they understood,
they
saw it because they did it,
right?
Like, and like stop yelling at each other,
right?
You know, and see how that goes for a while,
right?
You know,
and they understood it. But today it's kind of like we're just like holding onto like the tiny crumbs of those ideals and like the tiniest crumbs,
and we're fighting over them.
Yeah, and we're like,
we're good.
We're like,
you're not good. We're good. No, you're not good. We're good.
Right, right. And it's like, it's even the point to the fact of like, okay, someone's doing something good today, but why are they doing it? And they could give you an answer. But why are they doing that? They could give you an answer. The minute you get to the third why, they would not know why they're doing it. And I think,
because I can give an answer about things is like they don't hurt anyone and they feel good,
right?
And I feel like that's a valid answer for things,
right? But then it comes to the thing of that the more technologically advanced we become, the more whys we would have to be able to answer. Because if we can't answer those whys, then we would just keep on technologically advancing to the point that we would not even be there anymore.
Well, we have no idea what technology is really doing to us.
Right. I would say it's exposing us. Yeah. I think that's a good line. Gary Vaynerchuk uses that line. He says, technology is not the problem. It's just exposing us. I think that's very true because Carl Jung used to say we need more psychology and understanding of human nature. And I think that's definitely what's missing.
Yeah. That would be... More people talking about their genuine problems,
yeah,
would be really good right now.
Right.
I hope to expound on this more, but like we had mentioned briefly, like there was a 4 or 5 year period where like young kids were just doing drugs and dying.
Right. You know. Yeah.
Like we just talk about your stuff, and there's, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the stigma is now. I assume not good. I assume it's not. People probably aren't currently in a place where, you know, getting help is just totally fine.
Yeah, dude, like...
It's also not easy to, like, make that, to actually do it. Or, like, it's also not... Now we're straying. It's also may not be, like, financially accessible. Okay, well, like, let's change that.
Right.
Like, maybe that... I just have ideas about how things could be better. No way to really back them up, honestly.
Right.
But like, yeah. I'm attached to my ideas, and they seem like they'd work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. More mental health care being available to people would probably be good right now.
Right. Yeah.
Probably get us out of like the self-destructive. Like, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid we're in a self-destructive rut right now.
Yeah.
Because this, like I said last week, this isn't sustainable.
It's definitely not. Like. I've really been asking the question is like, why do you wake up the next day? Like, do you actually have a reason? Like, the answers I've been getting are very weak, But I've
yourself or from others?
From others and from in general, and not from Jordan Peterson, but like from others. Like the answers I've been getting are very weak, and it's like not like and it's like it's not like I just ask them. Like I see it in their actions, and it's like their actions point to like a weakness of like why they're getting up. You know, it doesn't look sustainable. It doesn't look like it's gonna stay that way. It's like it's falling apart, man. And it's like,
yeah, there's a lot of just structural decay. It seems.
Yeah, like it's really falling apart, man. Like, and it's like I try to shy away of even saying much words because the more I speak, the more I realize how much. No, the more I speak, the more it's gonna be unpleasant to hear. You know, it's like like this
shouting into the void kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, and it's not like people don't already know this. They know it, but it's like they know it, but they're not doing anything about it. Yeah, that's what's it's like, amazing.
Well, like we were talking about, like how close nature is, like what nature is. Like, you know what I've been thinking? I think, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but this is a weird ism that I had. Just like walking down the street, just like stray intrusive thoughts. Like, hey, could I take that dog? Like in a fist fight?
Right.
Like bare knuckle. Like could like mirror this dog? Some of them, like obviously, like, yeah. You know? Like some of them are like, maybe. Some of them, no.
Right.
And like that's nature.
Right.
And like sure we're humans and we have thumbs, so we get like a leg up. But that just means that we're better at killing than everything else is.
Yeah.
And that doesn't play out right now.
Right.
Like it's slippery.
It's slippery. Like what's baffling me is that everybody points and talks about ideals. But they're not doing it. Like, it's not apparent that the society wants to or is doing anything about like actually striving for something better. Like everybody wants to talk about
There's a difference between like the people, the banners, and the people doing the marching.
Right. It's like, and the real issue and the real problem that I'm dealing with is that the individual psychology and personality of the individual needs to be addressed much more than it is. Like individual psychology is very important. Individual psychology is much more important than we think.
Yeah, because in the end, you're the only one that can meaningfully improve your life.
Right. Like
this, and you're the only one that can find meaning.
Exactly.
Only like, you nobody can find can, true right, meaning for yourself.
Right. Like nobody can find it for you, and it's so disturbing. Because it's apparent and it's showing that people don't have a will to live anymore. People don't have a reason to like keep on going anymore. And it's just, it's been affecting me. Thank you. It's been affecting me.
Just living in that vibe.
Living in that vibe, dude. Because I do feel like I feed off people's vibes. I realized that when I got older, because I was very introverted and shy when I was younger. But when I got older, I was like extremely extroverted. And so I feed off people's vibes, and it's like the vibe is like we want things to die and we don't care. That's the vibe I'm getting from people.
Or just we just want to tear down and we don't care, or both.
Both. We want
things to die
and we don't care.
And that's bad.
And it's like,
because then there's no plan.
Right. And it's like, yeah, it's cool. I could be like, okay, maybe it's just the place I'm living. Maybe it's just the people I've met. But that's all like, they're not, that those answers don't do it for me because.
You think it's deeper than that?
It's deeper. I think it's a universal thing.
It's kind of been woven into whatever we're experiencing.
Yeah. I think it's a universal thing. Because I do think I would be more, I do think I'm more of a pessimist, and I would be more inclined to be like, oh, things kind of suck, even when they might be really good. But I don't think I'd go this far to lie in the sense of like saying like things are horrible, because I feel like everybody can feel it. And it's like, I'm not even considering the fact of like a pandemic going on or the stupid, you know, police killings or whatever is going on and all this or that. I'm just taking into account of actual human beings and their lives.
What's happening.
And it just really sucks. Like, people's lives sucks to a level you have no idea. I mean, it's so horrible. It's so bad. And it's like the whatever goes on in the internal soon comes into reality on an external level. And that's what happened with the World Wars. The World Wars didn't just happen. It was a slow progression. There was a progression from things that were unsettled in the internal that manifested in the external.
So to go along with that, like, so I work in a call center, and I have experience with people, and oftentimes I do my best to make sure this is not the case, but oftentimes there's nothing I can do to help this person. They just have to return to a shitty circumstance, without recourse, it seems. And as far as I can tell, but also like, I only just realized like the amount of barrier I have to put up in order to not feel, because they're returning to that. They're in that situation.
Right.
Like, and I can imagine how awful it is, but like to be in a shitty circumstance with no recourse.
Right. And
it's so, so unbelievably shitty.
Yeah. And I think the fact that you feel that way even points to the fact that there's probably a part of you, maybe consciously or unconsciously, that's realizing that people have no other thing to live than use. People probably have no other thing to use to hold on to. And so when they fall into some kind of pit or shitty situation, your psyche is kind of manifesting the reality and showing that it's going to be really shitty if they fall into that shitty situation, because they have nothing to hold on to, nothing else that's apparent to you that individuals could hold on to in this society.
Well, that's what Nietzsche meant when he said God is dead, is the thing that all of man can hold on to is no longer there.
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
And we're back. Longer for us than it was for you, but we were talking about Nietzsche and the idea of God being dead, and maybe that's just where we are.
Yeah,
seriously. God's dead.
Seriously, man. And, like, I don't know if we took him as seriously as we needed to have taken him.
Peterson?
Both Peterson and Nietzsche.
Oh, Nietzsche.
Yeah. And God, maybe. Seriously. I think the general vibe is I don't think we often take things that we should take as seriously as they should be taken. Like, sometimes our priorities are a little messed up, you know, as a general society. And it's like, high priority is the individual well-being psychologically. That's a high priority without a doubt. Like, the individual well-being psychologically.
Yes.
It's a high priority.
Healthy mental health.
Yeah, it's a high priority.
Unbelievably. Like, you can't inexpressibly high.
Yeah, and it's like, now I feel like we're trying to play catch up.
We're realizing what happens when
that's the case. Yeah, we skip like individual well-being, I think. Individual mental psychological well-being, I think, in the chase of the, for lack of a better civilization to criticize, in chase of the American dream, we missed and left out. We ignored or disrespected or did not take seriously the individual psychological well-being that was left out. And now we're trying to play catch up while also doing and dealing with other...
Interesting.
Other...
Well, that is...
Stupid things, if I have to use stupid.
We're overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah. Overcompensating, yep.
Like the redress of every individual for the past however many years wasn't taken care of. And now we're trying to start taking care of everybody right now, where we barely understand how to take care of one person. Like, I think there seems to be a thought that one answer is all that is required.
Yeah.
Where like, I understand that it could, like, one answer can, in theory, be all you need. But when it comes to an individual's well-being, like, it seems infinite.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
like, the individual complexity is...
staggering.
Yeah, staggering, dude.
People will experience, and this is a thought I've had, is in my journey to try to understand people, that individuals may have reasons that I cannot even fathom, like cannot even construct in my head, because their experience of events is different from mine, that I don't even have the ingredients to concoct anything similar to what they can.
Right.
And then you add on top of that, that all of those reasons that that person has come up with is just as valid to them as your reasons are to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was someone that had me thinking about this. I think this was at the opening, an old friend of mine, Zach Castellanos, where hopefully he's doing good.
Mm-hmm.
He told me once, really brilliant person, brilliant. I was feeling self-conscious about something. And he asked me, like, what was an embarrassing thing I remembered about that person? The person I was self-conscious of.
Right.
And his point was, it's if you can say none, chances are they're not even, the thing that you are concerned about is not even of a concern to them.
Right.
And because I experience reality in such a specific way, which is my own way, and because I've been, in my mind, just by lucky encounters and then sometimes by design, trying to encounter the way other people perceive reality. Like, another thing was, I was super self-conscious of a particular, like, social whatever that I had, like, misspoke or done something embarrassing at work with a close friend of mine at the time there. And, like, I expressed, like, apologized for the awkwardness, and he looked at me and, like, literally, and this man, I don't think ever lied to me, told me, like, that he'd, like, totally forgotten about that particular thing that I was fixated on.
Right, yeah.
And that opened my eyes to, like, you always know that other people think other things by virtue of the fact that you can't read their mind.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's very easy to not, to lose sight of the fact that their perspective drives their action, which is, you know, anything that drives your action is about as true as it can be to you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing it or, you know, depending on whatever reasons, but people don't understand. And then people don't then flip that around to say, here's your deeply held beliefs that are held as deep as mine. Before you get to that step, you can't make progress.
Right.
Like, there is no next step until you come to that realization.
The core of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that everyone's perspective is as driving of their action as your own is. You know, because...
Yeah.
I truly feel like what we do is... we're going to have to pause for a moment.
Yeah. Like, it's like... That is the case too, because it's like the individual's concentration is just as dense as your concentration. You know, we are almost as equally concentrated in existence as the other person. And
your own focal point of consciousness is as real as anyone else's.
Right.
Yeah. Meaning, but you also have to treat people as such.
Right.
And
right.
maybe that's the answer, or an answer.
Yeah.
Is treating people, I don't know, maybe if more people understood that, like, anyone you disagree with, their reasons are as valid as, you
to
know,
their life as your own reasons may appear valid to your own life. And that's really what the Jordan Peterson rule was saying, is listen to someone as if they had something to say that you could learn from, you know, and that is the actual case, because they do have something to say.
More that specifically, you could learn from. Take a look at that.
Yeah. Can you help me read the actual line?
Yeah. So,
to the for the one that's
okay. Yeah. Assume that the person you are listening to might know something that you don't.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I think we've completely missed that in the whole culture. There's no way to collect the other side with the other side. You know, there's no way to coalesce the other side with the other side. It's almost like there's no bridge.
Yeah.
You know?
And then we began to tear in part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully this is not the end.
Yeah. Yeah,
for real. Because that way, if this were the end of the American experiment and like something crazy like Russia or China takes over, which if let's say worst case scenario, civil war, yeah. Russia, China picks up the pieces.
Yeah.
And that's the American experiment and it didn't work.
Yeah. You know,
hopefully not.
And, you know, for whoever comes up next, it would be foolish for them to not learn from history. Mm. But like Hegel said, one of the most important lessons from history is that man learns nothing from history. And that is kind of sad and depressing. And it makes sense
for
why a person should kind of be nihilistic, regardless of all the other factors that play in the individual's life.
But hopefully not. And I think that's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's well, it's been fun. Official episode one in the bag.
Yep.
Nice.
Sweet.
Thank you for listening if you made it this far.
Yeah.